started, and I suspect board member Cousins will join us shortly. So I'd like to call tonight's meeting of the Design Review Board to order. Today is March 3rd, 2016, and first item on the agenda is roll call.
Chair Tolini?
I'm here.
Vice Chair Krasinski?
Here.
Board Member Chong?
Here.
Board Member Emerson?
Here.
Board Member Cousins is absent at this time.
Next item on the agenda is oral communications. If there is anything that is not on tonight's agenda that any members of the public wish to bring to our attention, now is the opportunity to do so. Seeing none, next item is staff briefing.
The only thing I would mention, if anyone's here for 180 Gilmartin Drive, that's been continued to the March 17th meeting.
Thank you. Okay, on to old business first. The first item on tonight's agenda is 2370 Paradise Drive. If the applicant would like to come up and just walk us through the changes that have been made and bring us up to speed on what's new and go from there. And please do grab a microphone if you don't have one with you.
And let the record reflect that Board Member Cousins is present.
Is this working?
If you would start just by introducing yourself, because we record everything. Thanks.
So I'm Mary Griffin with Turnbull Griffin Hoslop Architects, and my partner Stefan Hostruff is here, and the Grays, and we also have Sterling and Dave from Nordby Construction, who are the contractors who are being considered to build the house. And as you know, most of you were here last time, the house that we're talking about is located right here, and it's, I think, sat empty for quite a few years. This is the footprint of the house we're proposing to take down, and this is the view that is the reason that the Grays bought the house and that is important to everyone in the community. When we started working on the house, we tipped it away from the current footprint, and part of that was to preserve the views, the side views. You know, this house looks this way, this house looks this way, with a very broad view, but across our lot. And also, this house in previous applications, this lot in previous applications, it had been denied to have a two-story house on it, and so it's got a lot of constraints to try to get a one-story house on the lot. We are proposing to put the garage under off Linda Vista. This is the main level, which is a two-bedroom house with the living room, dining room, kitchen across the front of the house towards the water. I'm going through this quickly because most of you have seen it before. The roof has two tip-ups to the south that accommodate the required solar panels, and that was part of how we designed the house. And then various issues came up at the last hearing that we've tried to respond to. One was the parking at Paradise Drive. Since we were moving our garage below, we're able to close the curb cut of the current driveway. And this is, of course, not on the Gray's property, but in the city's property, so it's really a public works issue. This is the current situation there. This is the Timestress house, which their house cuts into the setback on this side, but they have a tight condition that they've lived with for many years, but they were concerned about the proposal to have three cars there, which initially had seemed like that just gave the town more parking, but we're happy to make it two cars and have a buffer. This would be part of the, again, it's a public works application that would be a separate application. The roof profile was the other issue that was discussed, and this is an example of another house of ours that had a roof with a tip-top roof. This is a much bigger overhang, but to both provide solar control and screening. So in our original design, we had projected our roof 4 feet, and we had the house set at the setback limit. We met with the Teimstras and other neighbors about 10 months ago. It was in June of last year, early June. And in response to that meeting, we pulled the house back in and cut the overhang and made flat roofs on either side. That was how it was presented eventually in our application. And this is a view of the house as it was presented in our application. And a lot of our effort, the Teimstras have these windows on the side of their house that look out across the Gray's property. And part is from their dining room, their hallway, and then one that their kitchen island steps back from. So this was the view from that triangular window of our original, and this was the view from the kitchen island of our original. And so, and this is the view, this is the kitchen island window, this is the triangular window that's looking at it from the Gray's house. So in our proposal tonight, we're proposing to cut the overhang back to 2 feet. The Grays very much want to preserve an overhang because they're worried about some of the weather conditions on the south side with the water exposure. But to cut it back to 2 feet, and that would, this is the story pole, and this is what we removed from the overhang. And this is what it would look like with the overhang cut back to 2 feet. And this is what we proposed before. Every time we go there, it's a gray day, it seems like. But this is what we had proposed before. And this is with it cut back 2 feet. This is the view from the triangular window. And then this is the view from the kitchen that we had had last time. And this is with it cut back to 2 feet. So we feel like this is a response, particularly that this kitchen window is so deep in their sight that it's hard for us to take our house back any further. This shows you what it would look like with that modified overhang. We also adjusted a window that the Teimstras had been concerned about. This was the window that looks east, and it had a 10-foot high window, and we are proposing to reduce that to an 8-foot high window, which was one of their requests. We do think we should keep the overhang here because it actually blocks light leakage coming up from these windows and provides some screening. So these responses to cut back the overhang, to address the parking, and then also to address the concern of that window, we feel like we've worked long and hard to design a house that both serves our clients but responds to this view issue from pretty deep inside the neighboring lot. And so we request that you approve the project and that the Grays can move forward with building it. So do you want to speak, Rich?
Thank you. I'm Richard Gray, the owner of 2370 Paradise Drive. I just wanted to say that during this evening's discussion, we'll probably get involved in some details, but I think it's the purpose of the process that we all take a half a step back and see what the proposal is in total, see what the objections are in total, and consider what's the right thing to do. We don't want a house designed by a committee. That's an important thing to us. We designed the house the way it is because we like it. We think it's a good design. We've made every effort to be sensitive to the neighbors' concerns, and we think we've done that. So we would very much appreciate your consideration and approval of this design. Thank you.
Thanks. So with that, we will see if there's any questions from the board before we let the applicants take a breather. Seeing none, we'll open up this application for public comment. We ask that you limit comments to 3 minutes per person, and whoever's first, please just come up to the podium. Please speak clearly into the microphone, and please start with your name and address. Thanks so much. Not all at once.
Good evening. Peter Plaster, I live at 2380 Paradise Drive, across the store. You two come to live with the Grace House, the Beach House, the design by a committee or by neighbors, that's why we have to really make specific, any specific suggestions about how we should stand for now. When we saw the amount of adjustment that was made in response to the board's request, we thought we should get some professional help. So we asked Michael Rex to come and help us, and he gave me a letter that we all agreed. From the very first time that we saw this project back in June, we had two major questions to explore, consistently and in writing. The great group of 74 years, and global group, and woodland, ground wheel, light and cold, light and power, and fundamental light on the community and sidewalks. They have the Grace architects are obviously creative and all of it seemed to us that they should be able to come up with a design that would both reflect the house and meet the great needs when Michael Rex came and visited us, within an hour, he came up with three or four, I thought, workable designs to take that and to be excited about the work. And just upon waking up in my house, we don't want to have to go through this kind of building process like that for the other time. Other vendors that they plan to put in their apartment would be the overhang on the office area really won't, you can't see really around the corner. So I don't think that's totally going to make any difference for that window down there. But it does extend 4 feet out, and it's really what sticks right out into the light and cold.
Mr. Times, I'll ask you to wrap up. We've gone a little bit over.
All right. Thank you.
Other public comments on 2370 Paradise Drive?
My name is Tyler Bartlett. I'm the owner of 2360 Paradise Drive. I submitted a letter late this afternoon. I just wanted to confirm that you've seen it and read it. I have a photo.
Do ask you to just take the microphone with you, just because we record everything for the public record, and how we get the photo into the public record will be, that'll be Dan's problem.
The photo is of the, from the window of the master suite of the back side of the 2360 Paradise Drive. This lower story pole is the proposed height of a window. I believe it's a little high, and it comes over the top of the hedge excessively compared to what's in their car.
Where was the photo taken from?
The back bedroom of the 360 Paradise, the master suite bedroom. My other concern was the fence on the shared property line. I'm concerned about hedges as well as the fence being torn down.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comments on 2370 Paradise Drive? Going once? Okay, with that, we'll turn it back over to the applicant. You have up to 5 minutes at your leisure to respond to the public comments raised. And after that, we'll close the public portion of the hearing and bring it back to the board.
On the hedges, well, I'm sorry, we don't intend to take down any hedges unnecessarily, and we want to protect the hedges and the fences. It's more that if they get
Could you address us?
Thanks. So if they get hurt during construction, and it was part of the requirements to show fences on the drawing, so there's no intent to do that. And obviously this letter came in late this afternoon, but at the last hearing this issue came up, and we thought it was considered to be okay. And our house is quite separate from 2360. You know, there's quite a division between our house and 2360. Are there other?
I'd just like to say that I think whatever impact this project would have on the Heimstra's view is minor. They have a view that's probably more than 180 degrees. And I think the main issue that has been raised has to do with the Golden Gate Bridge. The view of the bridge that is most impacted by the project is a view from the front of the kitchen sink, which is approximately 15 to 18 feet away from a window. It's not really a view spot in the house. They have several other completely unobstructed views of the Golden Gate Bridge from the main rooms of the house, the dining room, the living room, and the deck. And from the kitchen, I don't think it's really a situation where people would be standing at the kitchen sink admiring the view of the Golden Gate Bridge. Now, if there's something we could do to snap our fingers and fix it, we would do it. But in our view, it's part of having a new home on this site, which is an important thing for the neighborhood and for the community. And we think that the benefits of having a new home will outweigh what is a minor impact on the neighborhood. And my wife would like to say something.
Thank you.
So with that, we'll close the public portion of the hearing for 2370 Paradise Drive and bring it back to the board. Who'd like to start? No questions for the applicant still, right? Everyone's square? All right. Gordon looks like he has a number of things just trying to leap out of his mouth, so I'll let him start.
Has a lot of good design elements to it. I was hoping that when we said we'd like that he's tweaked, that the architects might come up with something that would satisfy everyone. In fact, I think the cutback kind of is the minimum that could be done to protect the view that we were concerned about. However, I accept that the neighbor's view is a borrowed view, looking across the site and from quite deep back in the site, and it's 2 or 3 degrees in a 180-degree panorama. I think the cutback does keep it clear of the bridge from the window that we were discussing, and so it's just about done enough to satisfy the problem that I saw.
Brian?
Yeah, so I wasn't here the first time, and unfortunately when I went out there yesterday, it was fogged in. So I'm kind of going to lean a little heavily on both the pictures that were submitted and some of the folks that had seen it the first go around. But in general, it seemed like the kitchen was the one that caused me the most pause for concern. But I think the pictures that were submitted were pretty honest, not zoomed in, not zoomed out, kind of a realistic view of what it would be. And I think, to Gordon's point, it would probably be just barely the minimum. It would be nice to see a little bit more, but curious to hear from the three of you who saw it the first time.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I think I'm basically in agreement with Gordon that it would be nice to preserve all the views, and I sympathize with where the timesters are, but it is an extremely borrowed view across someone else's lot, and we run into this quite often. And I think from the majority of the house, the bridge is preserved. The skylight issue, I think that because of the height of the roof and the height of viewing from the house, and with the skylights that they're required to have now being heavily tinted and flat, it's not like the big white bubble ones that get in everybody's view. I think the parking can be handled. I think that's something that is just a matter of how it's designed to limit it to two cars, because if you've ever tried to get out of that driveway and a car is parked right close, it is dangerous. The one thing I wondered, and that we didn't bring this up last time, and I wasn't able to see, but they did reduce the height of that, is it the east, on the east elevation?
That fixed window?
To 8. And I wonder if that opposing window on the other side, I guess it's a door.
Sliders.
Yeah. Because that, again, is up above the screening and creates a little beacon. And then I agree with the staff that we should set a height limit on the piss form that's proposed.
Okay. Linda?
I agree with what the other board members have said. It's too bad that the view can't be preserved all the way, and I thought more could be done, but it wasn't. And I think that when I looked at it today, it was back far enough that it mitigated a lot of my initial concerns. However, I do feel for the neighbor on the other side, because he's going to also have an 8-foot slider facing him, and 10-foot slider facing him. And it seems like that could be reduced fairly easily to match the other side. I agree that the skylights, I know my neighbors were concerned, and I hung a bare light bulb in my skylight, and they couldn't see anything. They were perfectly happy. So that is a lot different than actually having, you know, lighting in a bathroom. So I don't think that's going to be a problem with our new skylights. It's going to be fine, and I'm okay with it as long as I would like that sliding glass door to be reduced in height.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I saw the door, thanks to the letter from 2360 as well, and, you know, to me, I think the header on the window was brought down to 8 feet. I think the corresponding change should be made on this, too, for the beacon reason that John mentioned. You know, on the pittosporum, I mean, I guess the only issue I have in terms of, like, setting a height is that I don't necessarily feel like I have a good grasp of what the height is of, you know, that hedge that's there now that we wouldn't necessarily want it to
go over it,
exceed,
yeah,
right? So,
exactly.
You know.
Staff can do.
We can add a condition of approval, right?
With that.
Right.
Yeah.
And do we send them out there with a tape measure and
measure
themselves?
Yeah, exactly.
Take out insurance.
Right.
Right. But I'm totally in favor of those couple of conditions included. But look, I agree. I mean, I do think the applicant has really put a tremendous amount of effort and thought into this. I mean, I think that canting the house the way it is going to be extremely helpful. And that would seem to be a starting place for design as opposed to just the place that was ended up as some sort of compromise. So I think that, and it, you know, is going to have the effect of pulling that sensitive corner of the house away significantly compared to, you know, what could have been. And honestly, you know, the view intrusion it's minor. You know, in the context of, you know, the view taken as a whole and all of the different windows and everything else. You know, it didn't have to be a 3-foot 8-inch. Eve, and now it's been shortened. I personally do think the design has kind of suffered a little bit. It's less dramatic as a result, but that's the sort of compromise you need to make sometimes. It would have been really cool to do that kind of roof they showed in the picture, but that's not going to work. So I think...
quick question.
So, Brian, yes?
A quick question. You just made a comment in the minutes last time about how fast screening would be replaced during construction, about you'd like to see a condition of approval requiring any screen damage during construction to be replaced as soon as possible. I didn't see anything like that written into the conditions of approval.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was...
To me, that's always something I'm in favor of. I mean, to the extent that, I mean, obviously a lot of the screening there is important. I mean, I think the most important screening is actually on the Timestrow side of the property. So
yeah, I do too.
I'm actually not too concerned about it, but at the same time, you know, especially on the other side. You know, to the extent this fence work ends up resulting in screening damage, I do think on the 2360 side, there's probably a little more potential for exposure.
Can I ask staff one question? Public Works never says put a boulder in a parking pad so you can't pull forward or something, do they? I mean, I don't know where this whole boulder idea came from.
It wouldn't require that.
Yeah,
I think they can review that and determine whether they feel it's appropriate or not as a barrier.
Oh. Okay.
And going to the landscaping question, I just wanted to clarify, coming up with a couple of additional conditions of approval based on the discussion of the board, that one would be that the pittosporum species on the east side property line shall be a species that will not exceed the height of the existing hedge. That's the 2380 side.
Correct.
So you're concerned about... Are you also concerned about the 2360 side, so that if anything is damaged during construction?
Right, on that side, it's the damage to the screen that would leave exposure between the two properties, because 2360 doesn't have its own screen, right, whereas the time screws do.
So any landscaping on the west side property line that is damaged on that's damaged during construction shall be replaced.
And that's meaningful to the privacy screen. I mean, obviously, if it's a 3-foot acacia that should have not been there to begin with, it's okay to whack that one.
shall be replaced with sufficient privacy screening.
Yeah. To replace whatever was damaged.
Okay, and then the west-facing kitchen sliding glass door shall be reduced in height to 8 feet?
I think, that's the header height, I think, on the window that it was reduced to on the eastern side, so that's what I would say. Okay. So who'd like to make a motion on 2370?
Regarding 2370 Paradise Drive, I make a motion that we approve the plans as presented with the conditions as Dan stated.
I'm going to ask you to be more enthusiastic the next time you make a motion.
Nobody else stepped up, so I can go in sequence.
Who'd like to second the motion?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All against? None. With that, 2370 is approved with those conditions of approval. Next item on tonight's agenda is 681 Hawthorne Drive, and we'll give the Paradise Drive applicant a minute or two to tear down and a minute or two for Hawthorne Drive to set up.
Fit in well with the neighborhood, and as you probably know, there's many new houses along Hawthorne, and houses are being demolished and rebuilt, and we've worked very hard in this design to create a family home that takes advantage of the views and presents a handsome facade to the street, and is built in a way to protect the neighbors' views. We've been in touch with staff numerous times during the process to solicit their advice. First of all, and I hope you can see this, it is my strong opinion that this house will appear just as it is, a one-story house that with a small basement. And during our design process, Buffalo and Mesa wanted a larger basement, but in our meetings with staff, it was suggested that we minimize the basement and design only a garage and some storage, underground storage, and one room with the window, and that's what we have done in this design. In their opinion, and I agree with their opinion, this is a small basement that not only fits the definition of basement, but the spirit of the word, and does not make the house feel like a two-story structure. In my opinion, with this small basement, the house fits the sensibilities of a one-story home, and certainly fits in well with the other one-story houses with garage and basements below, all along Hawthorne. Staff also noted that it is common for the board to grant small lot coverage variances in areas such as neighborhoods like this neighborhood, where second stories will just block neighborhood views. And to be clear, we're not asking for any floor area ratio variances or setback variances or height variances. By keeping the house one story, we're asking for a small lot coverage variance. In fact, we're asking for 134 square feet of additional lot coverage. And let me explain where that 134 square feet is coming from. By the definition of lot coverage, and this is the first floor plan, we have to count this portion of the front deck as lot coverage because it's slightly over 3 foot above grade. We also have to count this portion of the covered porch in front of the front door because it's covered. And when you take this and this together, what's left is we're over by our lot coverage by 31 and a half square feet. So we felt that's a pretty small lot coverage request, given the fact that we can't put a second story because of possible view blockage for the houses behind us. So let me discuss quickly neighbors' water views. We're very careful in designing this house to break it up into small masses have low slope roofs, and that keeps the roof low. In effect, with two exceptions, and I ask you to look at this drawing here, it's a little bit better on the screen, all the ridges are at or below the existing house ridge, except this ridge, which is the ridge over the kitchen and the family room, and that ridge is 7 inches higher than the existing house. And there's a short ridge here, which is really out of the view of the neighbors behind, because they're more over this way. This ridge is 14 and a half inches higher, would be 14 and a half inches higher than the existing ridge. So it's not that we're, one of the letters suggested that we're 30 inches higher than the existing, that's not true. Again, we're 7 inches higher than the existing house here, and 14 and a half inches higher. The rest of these are well below the existing ridge, and this, the main ridge is at the same height as the existing ridge of the existing house. So Mesa and Bahram reached out to the neighbors. The neighbor at 678, Hillary, directly behind it, expressed some concerns about potential view blockage, and they asked if we could put wires or strings between the story poles, and I want to explain why we didn't do that. First of all, we understand that it's not required, but that wasn't our main reason why we couldn't do that. Our main reason was that our original story pole plan had story poles at all the roofs and the valleys everywhere, so you could outline the shape of this fairly complex roof, and it was suggested to us by staff that there's just too many story poles. It'd be a forest of story poles to accurately describe all the roofs, jigs, and jogs. And we agreed that there's too many story poles, so they asked us, and we carefully worked out with staff the minimum number of story poles that would adequately describe the house, and that's why what you see there today is the story poles as suggested by staff, which I think was the right thing to do. But it left us without the option of tying them all together to show strings to outline the roof. That said, I hope that you've had a chance to visit the neighbors' houses, because it seems clear to us, and I have a picture that we've taken just recently from the neighbor to the rear of their yard. It seems clear to us that we're not going to be blocking any significant views from any of the houses around. This ridge here is 7 inches higher than that ridge, but it's shifted over, and I really don't see any potential for view blockage. It was also suggested that there might be view blockage from the house at 679 Hawthorne to the west of our house, here. And we talked with that neighbor, and he's in full support of the project and did not agree that there was any particular view blockage. So to summarize, I think we're proposing a very handsome one-story house in keeping with many of the new houses built along Hawthorne. By articulating the roof forms using low-slope roofs, we will not be blocking neighbors' water views. And the minor lot coverage variance is in keeping with other variances granted in these neighborhoods where single-story houses are required to safeguard views. And I think Mesa would like to speak, but if you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer.
Hi, I'm Mesa Namakian, and thank you, first of all, for hearing our proposal. Just so you know, I was actually born in Tiburon, raised here, so I was really excited. My husband and I were very excited to move back here from San Francisco just about a year ago. But prior to purchasing this home, we made sure to meet with the staff to really understand what is the process, what are our options. Really wanted to make sure that we knew what we were getting ourselves into, what are the potentials for a new home on this property. So we really tried to stick with what we were advised. Also wanted to thank some of our neighbors, wonderful neighbors, Bob and Mariana, who are on both sides of our home, who supported our design, and also Elena, and we have some other letters I think you received as part of a late application that they were supporting, and also the Kleins, who are on Hillary, one in your guys' left. the Kleins, and I met with them, and they were also supportive, and for many months talking to Daphne at 678 Hillary, because I completely understood that we don't want to block any of their major views, so we worked together to actually meet this morning and look at what are some of the possible objections, and in our view it looked very minimal. We also made some changes to the landscaping to minimize any potential height increasing in our landscape, so we brought down all the proposed
thanks. Any questions for the applicant before? Sorry, go ahead.
Before we were contemplating cedars, but those are the was really going to be way out of, way tall. So we brought it back down to the compact Laurel, which has an 8 to 10 foot height limit max. And so you can see here, this is the guardrail at the back, and it's about, it'll give, this is the elevation of the rear wall, 108 feet, and somewhere in between the bottom of the neighbor's back wall, which is a 3 foot high wall. It'll grow at about, we think it'll be about 12 inches below the top of the guardrail, so it should fit in nicely and not, you know, screen anyone's views. And that's about it. And you can see here's the rear, this guardrail is that guardrail, and there's a view from the downhill side. So we have the lower wall, and our compact Laurel is going to be planted just a little bit before that, so it should do the trick. That's all I have.
Yeah, thanks. One more chance for questions. Seeing none. Okay, we'll open up 681 Hawthorne Drive to public comment. Same rule applies. We just ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. So whoever would like to lead us off can come on up first. And I do just ask that everyone speaks into the microphone and start with your name and address. Thank you. And to anyone who has written letters, we have read them. So keep that in mind. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Mariana Longstreth. I live at 683 Hawthorne, right next door. And we've seen our neighborhood in the last few years really start to change, and I've really loved living in the neighborhood, and I think a lot of people have lived there a long time, and as people move out, we're delighted so far to see the change that we've seen on our street, and you know, we want to keep things moving in the right direction, because I'm sure there will be more homes remodeled soon. I really support the garage being underneath. I think it's important on our street to have garages, and having it underneath really gives a lot more space for the home. I am not affected in any way, view, light, privacy, so I am, you know, fully supporting it. I think the neighborhood itself is going to go through a lot of massive change, and I'm sensitive to people's concerns about setting precedent, because this will not be the first application of this yet. So I'm just delighted with the home, and I'm particularly appreciative that Mason Baram spent so much time to try to go over the plans with neighbors and listen to our concerns. So that's not always the case, and I really, you know, whatever happens, I appreciate that.
Thanks.
My name is Robert Van Blerkum, and I'm the house immediately to the north of the house in question, and I have absolutely no objections to it at all. I was given the impression that one of your group might have thought the northwest corner would get in the view. But there's a story pole on that corner, and today I looked and it cannot even be seen from any of our west-facing windows. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a very nice house, and I have no objection whatsoever.
Okay, thanks. More public comments. I see shuffling. I think there's.
My name is Tony Hooker, and I'm one of the owners of 678 Hillary. I'm here with my daughter. We've both looked at the story polls and the plans. We met with Misa today. And first, I just want to say that in general, I think it's a great design. It looks like it adds a lot to the neighborhood. We have a couple of concerns, which I'll voice. We were also the ones that asked about the string on the story poles. And we've spent a considerable amount of time trying to figure that out, and it's not easy. And I think the problem is we're concerned with the right now, on that side of the house, the story poles don't tell the story. You can't see the ridge line. This ridge line, this picture, comes from over here, comes across, and puts somewhere in here. We didn't know that. And walking this little piece, a lot of the shrubbery's coming in. Care about it, but you can't talk about that. The other thing that happened.
Sorry, can I ask you to just grab the microphone just because we're recording everything? You can take it with you. It comes off.
So the main ridge line of the house comes across, and because there's no story pole evidenced at this end, there's one hidden right in there. Barely can see it. You can't tell what happens here. This height here is a few, I don't know what it is, 5 or 6 inches above this peak. This piece here actually goes up, I think, about 3 feet. So when we say there's no height limitation, the ridge lines stay the same. I think the major ones do, but this one here, it comes across with quite a significant change. The other thing that happens is that this piece shifts left. So the new peak is way over here. So in trying to figure this out, and what it actually does, it was very difficult to do. And I made a picture, pretty close to the same picture. I'll pass it over, where I think that the roof is. So we would ask that the, at least on this end of the house, this section over here, that a story pole be put in, lines run from here to here, and a story pole put here going across this way, and something over here that attaches a line to it so we can see what that is. Because as I say, right now it's very difficult. The other thing that became apparent in looking at that was that the mass, because of this going up 3 feet, there's quite a substantial increase in mass in that roof. The question also was, does the roof have to go up that high? So I looked at the plans, and in essence, you have a competition between the view and the height of the house. When you look at the interior plans and you look at page A31, you'll see that the ceiling height inside the house is 9 feet 3 inches before it vaults. So the basic wall height's 9 foot 3, then it vaults. And I would ask that consideration be given to perhaps reducing that a little bit, or a little more excavation or some compromise between all that.
I'll have to ask you to wrap up. We're a little over 4 minutes.
The last two things are, one was addressed to keep the planting to the top of that rail, and the only other question would be on the rear exterior lights, that they be shielded and downward. That's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Other public comments? Seeing none, we will, we can keep it here. Seeing none, we'll open it back up to the applicant. Take up to 5 minutes to respond to the comments raised.
I understand the concern. It's very difficult to see where the ridge lines are, and I explained why you couldn't put up the story poles. But I want to be clear, and if I may take a look at that.
Sure.
What you're seeing in this picture is the top of the ridge of the kitchen family room. The new ridge that goes laterally is lower than that. It's not as drawn here. And it is, in fact, at the same height as the existing ridge. So if you drew the existing ridge over to that point, that's what you'd see. So it's not above the existing ridge. It's at the same height as the existing ridge.
Can you point it out on the film?
I can point to it on the, yes. No. This ridge is the same height as that. No, this is at 120.9. This is at 120.9.
Right, he means the ridge that's perpendicular, Gordon.
I mean, oh, I'm saying it's the same height as that ridge. Right. But you can see that it's not, his drawing shows it coming to the top of this ridge. It's not, it's 7 inches lower than that. And I want to be clear that the ridge that is higher than the existing ridge is 14 and a half inches higher, not 3 feet higher than the existing ridge. And that is back right there. You can see it there, which doesn't seem to block any water view.
Any questions for the applicant before we bring it back to the board?
Yeah, I have a question. The finished floor is the same as the one.
I'm sorry, John, I missed your question.
I just wanted to make sure the finished floor was the same as the roof.
Is existed for the upper floor?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Okay, so let's bring it back to the board. Gordon, I think you let us off this time. Get a free pass on this one if you'd like, or the momentum is down here.
Right.
All right, let's do it.
Because I think the whole issue of the ridge height is confusing, I mean, and I think it's quite
clear on the drawings that the existing building has one element with a high ridge at 120.9, but the main house, the ridge, is 118.75. And the higher ridge, and the applicant has related all his comments about ridge height to the maximum ridge height. So I would say that the people commenting have got it right, that the overall the ridge height has gone up by about 3 feet on average, 2 to 3 feet over the whole building.
Most of it
has gone up by 2 to 3 feet. And I think that's quite clear from these drawings. I agree that I should step back first and say I am not opposed to the two-story design. I think putting the garage underneath is a great idea, and that the house generally is fine. What I think is, what I have a problem with is that the minimum ceiling height is 9 feet, and it goes up to 14 feet in the entrance lobby, and this has a direct impact on the people who are higher up the hill. And it seems completely unnecessary to me, and I think that the house could be designed and would improve, be improved if the ridge heights were brought down. In terms of the lot coverage, I take on board the comments on that, and I think if it wasn't for the view impacts for the neighbors higher up, I would be open to considering that variance for the access. But, you know, this house is maxing out the floor area. It's pushing all the walls right up to the setback lines. I think it's going to have a lot more impact on the adjoining houses once those walls have actually been built. And so I would like to see some changes to it before.
Okay. Brian?
So I guess the first thing that I kind of focused in on was the lot coverage, just because it seemed like it was the lot coverage guidelines are really there to not overbuild on the lots, and it kind of felt like it was kind of stretching the corners of this one. But I think the trade-off here is, although it kind of has the second story with lower down, I think the trade-off is the design of putting the garage on the bottom and avoiding going up. It's kind of a little bit of what we have to deal with in some of the places, neighborhoods that don't like two stories, and view impact from uphill neighbors. So I think I could probably wrap my head around the lot coverage piece. The roof definitely is a bit of concern. The picture that I took is a little bit higher than this one, but I think that there's some room for improvement that would minimize the impact on the uphill neighbors, especially given that you're playing a little bit with the Sausalito shoreline and Richardson Bay with being able to ensure that you see kind of the water view across the top.
Okay.
So really, I'd say roof is probably the big focus for me, and I'll also agree with Gordon. I think it's a nice design and it's well laid out. I like how they kind of made some of the living spaces in the back. And
okay. John.
Yeah. I think what we're grappling with is that we've given variances before if it's still basically a one-story design. But that's on smaller lots where the building ends up being still a fairly modest building. It's a big lot. It's almost to the zoning. And I think that creates a very large building in contrast to the other houses in the neighborhood. And being going from setback to setback and being as large and having this kitchen space looming out here over the garage, really affects the people on the other side too. I agree with both the comments. I think that, I was just looking at the section and it's kind of hard to understand where that 9'3" goes to, because it looks like it's to the bottom of maybe a decorative beam,
Yeah. Not
to the structure itself, not to the plate height. So that makes it even higher. And I think, that bringing it down would help solve some of that problem from behind, the views behind. Other than that, the architecture is its own. It's not really what is predominant in the neighborhood, but it, I guess, can stand on its own. So those are my comments.
Okay. Look, I think all four of us see this similarly. So, to Gordon's point, I had the exact same thought that, it's essentially raising a lot of the roof. I calculate 2.75 feet. Higher than what the bulk of the roof, that plane that's seen from above, is now. That plane that is aligned with the view above is taller, but really that's kind of a minority of what you see when you're trying to look across the house. So I think we're in unanimous agreement that the height has been brought up too much. With respect to building out to the setbacks and whatnot, this is a 3,000 square foot house, and not including garage. And to me, it very much looks it. And while I have no problem with, I encourage putting the garage, tucking it below, and especially if it's not causing an upward creep of the finished floor from the existing. To me, that's a win-win, and I think that square footage can be tucked away. But really, it's substantially all the square footage is on this upper floor that just sprawls to every setback. And so I think when you take, the increase in height, and then you stretch it laterally as much as has been done, essentially going to, from one side yard setback to another. Looking at the front of the house, it's, the left side is, it's almost like there's an entirely new house there. It's really, to me, pushes the envelope of bulk in the neighborhood. And the amount of glazing and everything else doesn't do anything to mitigate that. Nor does, the kitchen coming out of the garage. To John's point, you have these, kind of eave overhang type of things that don't do anything to hide, how large of an expansion is being tucked in. So, on the variance point, it is harder for me to see it for this. I, certainly if it wasn't impactful, in any way. I you know, couldn't see making a case for it, but I agree with the staff's findings that, you know, do, I think, in part to that impact, that there's probably insufficient evidence to support the variance findings.
Yeah, but let me add one thing.
Go ahead, John.
I think I agree with the garage and where it is, but I think the thing that, and looking at the story poles, and the difference this one is from some of the others, is that there's no offset here.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is a big two-story element.
Yeah, and in the past on this street, we've even gone to lengths to make the, you know, the railing, you know, kind of like a wood material or something other than just...
Or some architectural treatment just
right.
to cause a change in plane.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make that two-story.
Yeah, I agree.
So high.
No, and in looking at the couple others similarly formatted that have come through on the same street, on the same uphill side in the last, you know, call it 5 years, I mean, each of those has had, you know, some sort of depth or definition like that, and neither of them is nearly as just large, again, laterally and height-wise as this. I think we're all in agreement. I think we've given clear guidance that the height needs to be brought down.
That one's clear.
Sounds
like lot coverage is a little bit split, but it sounds like that with only four of us, there would be no way to pass a variance if you two are against it. So
yeah,
it sounds like the lot coverage needs to...
Yeah, I mean, my issue is that the lot coverage and maxing out against the setbacks are like one and the same issue. So, you know, I don't conceptually have an issue with the lot coverage, but since it's being used to max out the building pad, so to speak, and just have this fill up the entire buildable space of the lot, then I do have a problem with it. So, I agree that's a tough one. That's going to be a minor difference that probably, you know, should be relatively easily addressed. But I honestly think just, you know, more thought should be invested in, you know, trying to essentially make the size of the house a little more subtle, given, you know, the neighborhood and kind of pattern of development, and trying to, frankly, help it blend in a little more, size-wise. I think we're going to make a motion for a continuance. Dan, what date would you use
the
motion for?
The next date that would be available would be April 7th for this. We would need at least a verbal confirmation from the applicant for a permit streamlining extension to reach that date.
Okay. Who would like to make a motion?
I move that we continue 681 Hawthorne Drive to the April 7th Design Review Board meeting.
Seconded.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against? None. Thanks. And once again, we'll give the applicant a couple minutes to transition and time for the 17 Acela applicant to set up, and that'll be the last item. We ready? All right.
Okay, so I'm Lindsay Massey. I'm the architect on the project for 17 Acela Drive. Also here are our Mirage and Lisa Shaw. They're the homeowners, and Bruce Portman is the contractor. I'm not used to using a microphone, so excuse me. As you certainly know, the proposed project is to add a second story to the existing home. We'd be adding a little over 2,000 square feet to the home, which would bring the total square footage up to 4,500 certainly open to making alterations and trying to improve the project along those lines. But we do want to make sure that any comments that are given to us about the potential impact of views on the property and any potential requirements come from a clear understanding of what those views are and what is really truly being blocked and what is not. So the existing house, as you know, is fairly low. It's below the street level. The original house, the pad for the house, was pretty severely cut into the hillside. There's also a large amount of vegetation and trees between the house and the street. Our thought process in the original design of this was to move the mass of the second story as far east as we could to the area where it was most screened from the street and from all the other neighbors, and leave then the northwest area as the open roof deck, because that is the most exposed area of the property where it would have the least impact to the neighbors. I just wanted to give you a little background of where we came from. So I'm going to move on to kind of discussing what some of the views are for the very neighbors. For these diagrams that I have up on the wall, I did bring smaller copies for you guys to review if you would like to, if you can't see this well enough. I'll start with 14 Asela, which is the house that is across the cul-de-sac and a little bit above the property, this one here. The house is essentially a three-story home. The ground level is a garage. The main floor level is at kind of a second-story height. And then the kind of bedroom area is on yet another level above that. This home really enjoys a fantastic panoramic view that starts at San Francisco skyline, potentially even further east, spans all the way across the marina, Golden Gate Bridge, the headlands, the marina, all the way into Richardson's Bay and into the surrounding hills of Tiburon. Both the living area and the master bedroom area would share those views in this house. So what you can see in the view diagram is all of the areas that are shaded in the kind of green and blue tones are views that this home enjoys that would not be affected by the second story addition. The area shaded in orange is the area that would be impacted by the second story. And in that case, that second story would encroach slightly into the lower view towards the Laguna. The majority of the Laguna would still be visible. Belvedere back behind would still be visible, but a portion of that Laguna would be blocked. In the total scheme of things, in the total range of their view, we're talking about an area about 5% of their view being impacted. So, moving on to...
Oh, can I ask a question? So, explain to me why only if the whole second story is on the existing footprint of the house, why only that sliver? Why not any...
Oh, I apologize. That has to do with the existing street trees and the cut in the property. The new roof is still several feet lower than the existing street trees. So in that area, in this swath right here, that lower Laguna view is already blocked by those trees. So we would not be increasing any blockage that's not already there.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I guess I will move on to 16 Asela, which is the property immediately to the northwest of the project. I have to say, in this instance, even the view diagram's a little deceptive, which is why I also included some kind of very crude floor plan diagram so you could kind of understand where the views are in that home and how it would be affected by the project. This home, the main living area is slightly below street level. I would assume for that reason is primarily designed so that all of the living space is really accessing the view out towards the headlands towards Richardson Bay, the marina towards Mount Tam, again into those hills and probably even beyond what is indicated in the diagram. As you can hopefully see, again, this is all the areas that are shaded in the blue and green. No construction on this property would ever really affect the views from the main living area of this home. There is, however, a second floor, and again, that's the bedroom area, which is diagrammed in this shape. As you can see, again, the master bedroom and areas, again, on the west side of the house, primarily gaining views towards Richardson's Bay, the same views that the main floor shares. But in this instance, there are two south-facing windows. Those windows do extend their current view towards the south and towards the east. These are the areas that are shaded in the yellow tones, so additional view that the downstairs does not get. That is going more towards the Laguna, towards the Golden Gate Bridge, and eventually at the very far southeast towards the San Francisco skyline. What I need to point out about that view to the San Francisco skyline is it's at an extremely acute angle to those windows. It's an instance where if you walk up to that end window, stand at it, and look to the left, the city view is clearly there. But as soon as you step away from that window, the view very quickly is blocked by that angle. The reason, of course, that I'm pointing this out is because, unfortunately, it is that San Francisco view that the second story would be blocking, as you can see in these orange shaded areas. We're kind of in the unfortunate position that view from those two bedroom windows to the San Francisco goes right over the entire roofline of the existing home. So there's no feasible way for us to do any sort of second floor addition and maintain that view. We believe first of all, I know that's a cherished view. Nobody wants to lose that. But it is a view from two secondary bedrooms. It's not even a very direct view from those bedrooms. And given the wide panoramic view that this house enjoys, this is at the very, very far edge of it. So we do believe that having a second floor on this property, even though it blocks that view, does fall within the bounds of what's allowed in the design guidelines. In fact, I would specifically request that if the board has a different opinion on that, that you would address that tonight and let us know, because we really wouldn't be able to move forward with the project. Beyond that, we do know that the owners of 15 Asela Drive, which is the home immediately to the east of the project, also did send in a letter with some concerns about how the project would affect their views. Unfortunately, didn't find out about that soon enough to produce a similar view diagram for that property. I guess our hope is that just by seeing the orientation of the home in the plot map, maybe inferring some of the views from 14 Asela and your own experience in the site visits, you would be able to know that the impact of the second floor to that home would be really even less than either of the two homes that I've discussed. I guess I'll kind of stop my chat with reiterating again, we're trying to bring this home up to the same standards as the neighboring properties. The house has already been cut deeply into the hill to begin with. It's already maxed out its lot coverage, so our only option to add to this home is to go up. We want to do so in as respectful a way as possible to the neighbors, and again, we'll entertain any suggestions of alterations, but in the end, we do feel that adding a second story is within the bounds of the design guidelines.
Any questions for the applicant before we open it up to members of the public? Thanks. So whoever would like to start, same format as always. I'm sure it's not like a broken record. We'll limit comments to 3 minutes. And please start with your name and address. Thanks.
Hi. My name is Patty Bashampian, and we live at 14 Apsala Drive, which is located directly across the cul-de-sac from the old and over the 17 Apsala Drive. We are requesting that the design review board reject the consideration of construction at 17 Apsala Drive on the grounds that the addition could significantly obstruct our view and consequently decrease the value of our home. Not only will the proposed construction block our Belvedere Lagoon view and Belvedere Island view, but it will further place a massive structure directly in front of our home and the view visible from all buildings. We have been resident of Tiburon for over 37 years, and the beautiful views from our home are the utmost importance and value to us. We went through this same design review when we built our house and made major adjustments due to the same review. Our neighbor at 15 Apsala, Ms. June Meikenberger, has asked us to express her concern that the proposed plan will also block her view of Mount Pam, the bay, and the lagoon. I urge the board to use the findings of the staff report dated February 10, 2016 to make their decision. Due to these considerations, we respectfully request that the board reject the current plan for construction at 17 Apsala Drive and that the shop planning be considered with us.
Other public comments?
Hi, my name is Terry Jackson. I'm at 16 Apsala Drive, right next to 17. My husband Ron and we have 3 children. We've been there for over 20 years. I think Apsala is a pretty special place. As you, most of you come down, as you drive down, the homes on the north and the east side of the street were built up into the hill, looking over the roof lines of those homes on the south and west that are built downgrade. And over the years, the 20 years that we've been there, neighbors have, I think, done a really good job of preserving those initial and original views, because everybody pretty much does experience world-class views. Like you said, it's a special place. And as people have renovated and updated, those on the south and west sides of the street, I think, have all gone down rather than up. And when we did our renovation, and went to, I would say, extensive efforts and expense to talk to neighbors prior to even drawing any architectural drawings and working with staff to see what's typical and what impacts and doesn't impact views and going into people's homes and on their decks. And as much as we would have loved to have gone further up or out, it would have impacted people's views. So we, not wanting another floor, went into the hillside downgrade. And that's, I think, why you see a lot of three-story homes on our street. So we did submit a letter with photos. Like our neighbors, it does dramatically impact significant portions of our home. There's a looming effect, since we're so close, over our main living area. The roof deck is not only into our bedrooms, but into our main dining, living, deck area. And there's a concern that probably is unique to our property, that if in fact this particular set of plans isn't approved, that I'll actually continue to get more and more part of the upgrade.
Hi, my name is Bruce Portner. I live at 2122 Central East in Tehran.
Excuse me, Mr. Portner, you're representing the applicant?
The applicant.
Okay, we need to wait until the neighbors have spoken before.
Nope. We'll bring it back to the applicant after the neighbors speak. Any other public comments? Come on back up. Sorry, we may have public comments. Do we have public comments, yes or no? It's getting late. Okay, please.
My name is Bruce Portner. I live at 2122 Central East in Tehran. I've been here for about 14 years. First of all, I'm not the contractor. I'm a project manager, but I also own a real estate company in Tehran. Bought and sold for clients many, many houses in Tehran. And over the years, as you have, I've heard all the different concerns about the neighborhoods and how long people have lived here and any changes that take place. A major difference between this particular property and the Jackson property on 16 is the Jackson property goes very far down on the downhill slope, so that they had the ability build down because they had the room and that they could function to that level. On this particular property, the property itself is smaller. It was originally built on flat bedrock. You can't dig down because it goes deep into bedrock and there isn't the room to be able to do that. So two different properties, two different lots without the same ability to do the same thing. And it's not a function of money as it is just can't be done. The existing house has 7.5 foot ceilings. That's it. And from grade to the gutter is actually 9 feet. The roof pitches up a little bit. So you're really talking about a structure that's in total right now 10 feet with 7.5 foot walls. The existing house is about 2,400 square feet approximately. Depends on which appraiser bring in. I've represented a lot of houses on Acela and on Audrey. From 7 Acela to Audrey Court to 4 Audrey Court to 11. So I know that the nature of that neighborhood and those particular streets, there probably are adjustments that can be made to this plan that would help on the concerns of some of the neighbors. And I think the Shaws, as my clients, are not here to fight or set in stone. They will work with people. They have tried to reach out to the neighbors before the design was done. Unfortunately, not all of them came together. Photographs are a wonderful thing. You can make them work any which way you want them to work. But a true photo representation, what the views actually are, has not been presented. So perhaps that can be done better. The next meeting, if need be. So that's all I'd like to say. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. If anyone else representing the applicant would like to speak, there's about 2 minutes left. So with that, we'll close the public portion of the hearing and bring it back to the board. Gordon's been on fire all night. I don't know. I don't know if you want to keep that going or not.
Looking at the site plan, obviously these lots are radial around the turnaround, and their primary views face out the direction the lots are facing. And so the views, particularly from 16 Center Drive, are very oblique. Looks overlooking the adjacent site. So while there are important features, I think it would be difficult to say that, you know, that they're the primary views from that residence. You know, they're definitely overlooked. Having said that, I mean, I take the point about has this applicant considered building down? They're very close already to the setback line, and there isn't actually, or I haven't seen a floor level for the existing floor related to the contour lines, but it looks like they would only be able to go down about a maximum of 4 feet. So there's no way before they hit the setback. So there's no way of actually just slipping another story underneath the existing house. So if you were to build down, you'd have to demolish the whole building. And I think that might be, that's obviously a lot to ask. So if we say, okay, we'll put a second story over the existing building, I think the first thing that strikes me about what's being presented is how high that proposed second story is. It's only got a 10-foot ceiling, but it's like 17 feet high, from the adding 17 feet to the height of the existing building. And I would say to the applicant that because of the view effects you are having, that there must be some way of reducing that impact. I don't, you know, you've got a huge void in the roof of about 4 feet for structure. You've also got a built-up floor over the top of the existing roof. If instead of having a flat ceiling, you had a coppered ceiling and brought the roof ridge height down, that would obviously help. I think having a deck on the northern corner is obviously problematic. It's not the ideal place for a deck either, I would consider, so I'd like to see that looked at. But those are my initial thoughts.
I'll just say, I mean, I'm going to have a hard time getting behind the second story based on, I went out with the, unfortunately on a foggy day again, but went to really kind of prove and disprove where the photos were taken from and what they looked like. And it seems, you know, I had a chance to see the project from both 14 and 16. And I think that the other options haven't been explored. I think that path of least resistance was throwing another story on top of the existing, you know, area, and there is some building pad to the southeast. I hear what the neighbor 16 says about not wanting to build to the northwest, but that is a kind of a flatter building pad that could potentially also be utilized. And I think that maybe not 4,500 square feet, but you could definitely get a decent amount of square footage without having to necessarily go up. So I think I'd struggle to find support for a second story to begin with.
Linda?
I have the same concerns. I don't think I've ever seen a house on a flat building pad that's been 27 feet. It's pretty unusual for a house on a flat level spot to be that tall. And it seems like there are other options rather than just putting another box on top, like Brian was saying. So I'm having a hard time getting behind it, too. I think there are other options that haven't been explored because this seemed easiest or most cost-effective. But I think the neighbors have a valid concern, and I couldn't quite believe how massive it looked when I stood down at the bottom of the hill and looked up. That's a big facade looming up over you.
Yeah, my first reaction was that I understand the first floor, the existing, is very low. But then when you put this other on top, there's something out of balance. It just seems top heavy. And then when you have this shed coming up that is, you know, another, what's it, 17 feet? And it's just closets and bedrooms. I mean, it's not a volume that's getting used by anything. But, you know, that's one. And whether the second story is even feasible to maintain some of the views that are being taken, I don't know. Because this is so high and it was so big and so massive. And that deck over the garage just will not work, you know, in my opinion, because I think that when you're in the house at 16, that kind of public outdoor gathering space is going to be very predominant over their master bedroom and the living area down below. So I think it does make a big difference. And it seems to me that why wouldn't you want that kind of space out toward where all your views are on that side? It would be less impactful. I don't know if the second story works. I don't know if it really won't. I think there's, when you go two or three houses back on the downhill side, I think there's two houses there that were developed and they went under. But I'd have to see if there, I don't see any reason for the 27 feet at all.
I'm in the same place. I honestly have a hard time, you know, giving a lot of constructive feedback because it's been a while since I've seen an application that just so fundamentally doesn't work for me. You know, this is, I think it's unlikely a second story, at least, you know, keeping everything else intact is necessarily going to work here. You know, when it comes to the larger lots in this neighborhood, I mean, there's, I think, a very fair expectation that, you know, a lot can change with these homes, and it shouldn't really have that much effect on the homes around it because they're so spread apart because they have such panoramic views. And I just can't think of a project that, a proposal that would have more impact on, you know, the neighbors than it does. I mean, this roof deck and the roof height, I mean, it's a completely flat building pad that's just been turned into a 27-foot tall block, which is also the complete opposite of the hillside guidelines. And insofar as bedrock goes, I mean, this peninsula is built on serpentine junk bedrock that falls apart when you look at it. So I don't understand this notion of not being able to go into bedrock because every other application does. I don't have anything else. I mean, this just fundamentally doesn't work for me. They would like to make a motion. I don't know what we want to do in terms of.
Could we continue it to?
We'd recommend the April 7th meeting.
Okay. Does that work for the applicant? It obviously can be extended at a later date if that ends up being preferable. No, we're just asking if you want to postpone the hearing till April 7th, or
that's
if that date
Thursday,
doesn't work.
Isn't it?
Yeah, we meet on Thursdays.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
I'm
it
tired.
Is.
Welcome to the Design Review Board. As to.
Sorry, does April 7th generally work? Okay.
As to 17 Acela Drive, I move that we continue the application to the April 7th Design Review Board.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And with that, 17 Acela Drive is continued. Last item on tonight's agenda is adoption of the minutes.
I looked them over.
From the
good to
February
me.
18th meeting?
Oh, sorry. I looked them over. They look good to me.
Yeah, I'll have to.
One comment. On page 4. Fourth paragraph, line 3, felt that moving the garage, and then it says underground, made the house less visible. I think what I meant to say was moving the garage to the top of the site made it less visible, and the driveway was less intrusive.
I'm sorry, so?
Well, I think, I said that it seemed counterintuitive to put the garage at the top, but actually, having seen the design, putting the garage at the top made it less intrusive, less visible, and that the driveway was less intrusive.
Well, yeah, I think that's what I was saying, that moving the garage underground, you know, burying it up in the hillside above the house made
Okay, so let's say he felt moving the garage
above the house made it less visible.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And the driveway was, well, I didn't say the driveway screened itself, I said the driveway was less intrusive.
Okay,
I had one thing.
Yes.
Right above that, first thing is take the last sentence out. It's stated twice.
The rooftop deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
See it?
I'm sorry.
Go two up.
Yep. Thank you.
And then in that what will be the last sentence now, that the overhangs are necessary to shade the large windows. I'd like you to add, but was concerned with the amount and height of glazing. Sound like I was hoarding.
Thank you.
You know, at the top of page 5, where it says Board Member Chong and Chair Tolini summarized the board's concern, that, and then it goes through what these things are. The one thing I've struggled with is where it says no variances would be allowed as a starting point for size reductions. It almost makes it sound like we said, you know, no variances allowed for this project or something like that. Whereas I guess taken very literally, like, that's not an inaccurate way of saying what we were saying. I think what we meant to say, though, is, you know, it's more that in terms of giving guidance as to the size reduction we would want, you know, the absence of variances would really just be the starting point. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I don't know that it necessitates a change, but.
You want to change that from would to should?
Yeah, that's anything to kind of soften it. I just don't want it to, you know, read like that, you know, Chong and Tolini got together and legislated that there would be no variances for this
what
project.
What if you just took out no and said variances should not be allowed as a starting point?
Should be avoided.
That was kind of the nature of the conversations, like a lot this,
we're trying to give
a lot this large
variance
should not have any variances.
I mean, that was what we were saying.
Anyway.
I think avoided, I think, would also soften it.
Right.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Avoid it. There you go.
Okay. Who'd like to make a motion with respect to the February 18th minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes from the February 18th Design Review Board meeting.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against? None. That we adjourn.